Well, good morning again. Glad you could be with us this morning, joining us in the beautiful outdoors, as was announced earlier. So you just have to pretend that there's no walls. We're under a pavilion of sorts. It's beautiful, sunny day, and we're all together. The fun part of these times is because we do the one service, we get to all be together, and I do hear from time to time, when you're talking with somebody, you're like, you know, I don't know who that person is. And most of the time, the answer is, well, they go to the other service that you don't go to. So this is a great opportunity for you to connect and to, after the service, kind of go, oh, okay, now I can visit with you a little bit. So we're doing this the first Sunday of each month. So hopefully it won't rain on the first Sunday of every month over the summer. But, again, God is the one who's in control. We will have our communion next week during the summers. We'll have it on the second Sunday, so we didn't forget. We're going to do it next Sunday as well. And we do want to be praying. It's okay if it rains today, but we're asking God for it not to rain on the 22nd of June, because that is our community fun fest that we're doing. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention because one of the things that we're doing is we're trying to bring this to be about the community. And so if you walked in, you might have seen a table with some bins in the back. What we're going to be doing is through the course of that evening, we're going to be giving away some gifts. And the plan is we want to give those to community families and friends that come. And you'll see that they're themed out there. If I remember correctly, there's our favorite place. That one is gift cards to locations, restaurants in the area that you like. You can purchase a gift card, bring it in. And what we're asking for that one is that you would slide it in the mail slot to Jeannie's office just over here. That way it's not out there for somebody to go, oh, I could go and eat at that place myself and enjoy it. So we're asking that you would put that in the slot for Jeannie's office there. There's one that I think it's family game night is one. There's a list of things there that you can purchase and bring. There's a couple other ones that can, like outdoor games and maybe Sunday night or movie night or something like that. But there's ideas that are there, and you can sign your name to them so we don't have a basket full of just one item. We have a bunch of different items, so look those over. What we're asking is basically that you would donate those items and have them here the Sunday prior to the Family Fun Fest. So that is coming up with that. All right. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time and as we open your word together, we ask, Father, that you would draw us closer to you. Open our eyes to see what it is that you would have each one of us hear from you today. Again, we ask that you would remove what our thoughts are and replace them with your thoughts. And we will give you praise for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was first looking at going into ministry, I remember I sat down with my dad, and it was my dad was a pastor at the time, and I was thinking, I'm going to get one of those great words of wisdom from Dad. So I asked him the question. I said, Dad, is there anything that you need to give to me to, you know, prepare me for this ministry that I'm going to go into? And when he gave me his answer, it really caught me by surprise. He looks at me and he said, Pete, if there is anything that you can do other than being a pastor, do it. And I'm sitting there going, that's not what I was expecting. I thought I was going to get some great words of wisdom. You know, Pete, you got to do this. And I didn't even know how to respond to that. But he continued on and he said, however, if God is calling you into ministry, there is nothing else that you will be able to do. Never look back. And that has stuck with me throughout the remainder of my life up to this point in time. that moment, if there's anything else that you can do, Pete, do it. But if God is calling you into doing this, there's nothing else that you can do. I remember when I was in college and taking ministry classes, and I had other friends that were in ministry classes as well, and they were all excited. They were gung-ho. You know, we're talking in class about how we're going to change the world, how we're going to go into the churches, and everyone is going to love everything that we do, and you know, we're going to change the culture of the church the moment we walk into it, and the community is just going to have this incredible revival because we're bringing the Word of God. And everybody was so excited about this. And now I look back, and several of those guys are no longer in ministry. They've walked away from it. Many have said that they wanted to be all in for Christ, whether it be in ministry or whether it be whatever God is calling them to. And then all of a sudden, as we talked last week about the cost, all of a sudden there was this reality of, my life could have been so much easier, therefore I'm going to walk away from this. Following Jesus, being all in for Christ, as we talked last week, is a very difficult thing. As I said, ministry, whatever level it is that you're in, ministry is hard. When God calls you into His service, it is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. As a matter of fact, I was looking, and one of the things I found was that about 40% of all pastors are currently considering leaving the ministry. Almost 40%. Now, in the last couple of years, they had said that that was increased up to about 50 with COVID, but it's kind of, I guess it's come back down a little bit. And they're going, you know, it causes that question of, why are they doing this? Why are they walking away? Now, it's not to bring a pity party or anything like that, but one of the things that you find is that the expectation of what it's going to be like when we enter into something is rarely the reality of what it is, right? You start a new job, you go to a new job, and they're talking to you and they're saying, you know what, this is going to be an incredible job, right? Have you ever had a person hiring you going, this is going to be a terrible job? Welcome to dungeon, all right? Welcome to prison. The rest of your life is going to be torture. No, they don't go that way. When you hire somewhere, they're telling you all of the great things that are going to happen. They're telling you about the cool benefits, the perks, everything that you get to have, and they show you that one thing. You know, it's like, look, you get a free soda out of the soda machine, you know, and you're all excited about this thing. But then eventually what happens? Reality sets in, doesn't it? And you're going, wait a second. Now, in some cases, maybe you even left a previous job, which was okay, for going to a new job because the grass is greener, right? You've heard that one? Most of the time, just so you know, it's spray painted, all right? But the idea is we're sitting there, we're going, oh, you know, this is going to be so great. And then all of a sudden, we start to look back on maybe some of those things that we didn't see coming. When God calls us to be all in, He calls us to engage in what His ministry is about, whether that be full-time ministry, whether that be where He has placed you type ministry. He has called you into kingdom advancement. One of the things that we find out is it's tough not to look back and see what could have been. As a matter of fact, this is what we're looking at this morning in Luke chapter 9. So if you'd take your Bibles and if you would turn to Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. Because we are outside, we do not have PowerPoint this morning. So guess what? You actually get to use your Bibles today. If you have a device, you can use that. If you don't have either one of those, in the seat in front of you, there should be a Bible as well. And I'll try to not run too far ahead when we're doing this. I'd like for us to use our Bibles. Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, when you look at this, this is actually, that doesn't sound like Jesus hardly at all, does it? I mean, the things that he's talking about, that is hard teaching to get. As a matter of fact, Jesus kind of sounds mean in these ones. Last week we talked about the cost of discipleship. Jesus, you know, he said to them at that point in time, he said, you know, here's what they did. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And we talked about what those meant. But then Jesus, following that, he comes back to it, which tells us he wants us to get something. When Jesus speaks on something, goes away from it, and then comes back to it, he's saying, no, I really want you to get this. And he comes to this point in time, he says, no, I want you to understand what it means to engage and to be all in with me. And he says, here, the point is, before it was, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And he says, now here's the second part of this. You not only need to do those things, but don't look back. Don't look back at what you lost. Because that is one of the things that we tend to do. We tend to come to the point in time where when things get hard, we like to look back and go, what is it that I lose? If I am going to follow Jesus in this, what am I going to lose as a result of being all in for Jesus? Now understand, when I'm talking about what this whole idea of what I lose in engaging, Jesus is talking about being all in. No question of where I stand. See, I can be the what I call the fan on the side of Jesus, where I can simply go to church and I can do the Sunday thing, but when it comes to the rest of the week, those are my time. Jesus has nothing to do with it. But Jesus is saying, that's not the life I've called you to. I've called you to be all in for the kingdom purposes. And he says, now here's the problem which happens. People come and they want to sound good. The first guy comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you know what? I'm all in. I will follow you wherever you go. And what's Jesus' response to him? You know, you would think that when someone comes and says, hey, I want to go with you, the response would be, great, jump on board. Here we go. It's going to be an exciting ride. But Jesus looks at this man, obviously knowing the heart of the man, and he says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. Are you really willing to do this? Now, Jesus isn't having, again, a pity party. He's not going, woe is me, for I don't have a comfortable bed. What's he saying here? The point that he's bringing across is, it is going to be difficult. There's a lot that you're going to lose. You know what? We have an incredible worship team, don't we? Every Sunday, they're up here, they're doing it. Now, there have probably been times in the over the years where someone comes along and goes, you know what, I really like to sing. I love singing. So they say, I want to join the worship team. So they'll approach whoever's leading the worship team and say, I'd like to be a part of the worship team. Great, you can join us. What's interesting is you find out that in time, maybe those individuals maybe sing once or twice, maybe three times, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know, I'm not available much anymore, you know. And the reason for that is actually being on the worship team is, it's not easy. It's a hard ministry. It looks great here on Sunday. I mean, it looks like these guys just get up here and they do a great job. But you understand that they come, they do practices, and they have to give up time to be with their family to come and practice. And sometimes it's early in the morning. On a Sunday morning, on a regular Sunday morning, they're here by 7:15, somewhere around that time, because they got to set up. They got to make sure everything is ready to go. They go over all the music, so that way when we come for the service, everything sounds great. And on a day like today, where we're supposed to be outside, you realize that the stuff just does not materialize out there. They come, they got to go and set up, they got to do all of that, then they got to tear down, bring it back in. You see, it's hard work. And what happens is at times, someone may go, that sounds and looks great, but man, that's going to be hard. And that's what Jesus was saying to that guy. He goes, you know what? What you're seeing right here is the cool stuff. I'm walking around and I'm doing miracles and you know, feeding 5,000 people and all of these cool things are happening. But do you understand the behind the scenes things that happens here? I once had a young man that was in our youth group, and he walked up to me one day and he goes, Pete, I'm going to be a youth pastor just like you. I said, that's great. Why? His response was, because I can wear shorts and play video games. And I looked at him and I go, well, that's great and all. I mean, yeah, but when you get to be my age, video games at 2 o'clock in the morning with you guys is not all fun and games. But there's a whole lot more to that. And as he kind of walked through that ministry with us, by the end of it, he came back and he goes, Pete, I'm not going into youth ministry. I'd rather be a teacher. And you see, what it is we look back and we see what we could lose. There's another story in Scripture in Mark chapter 10. If you want to take your Bibles and turn there, Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. This is the what some may call the rich young ruler or the rich young man. Mark 10, starting at verse 17, and here's what it says. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, this is a point where the guy looked at what he would lose in life. I mean, it was a great question. Again, Jesus, what must I do? He really should have put another word in there. Jesus, what easy thing should I do in order to have eternal life? You see, he didn't want to have the difficulties of it. And God, or Jesus, knew the heart of the man. He knew what was his idol. He knew what was his God. And so he said, so here's what the deal is. You can keep all of these things. You can do all of the churchy stuff. But here's what I need. I need to know that I am going to be your everything. I need to know that you are going to be all in with me. That it's not going to be a temptation to you to go back. And so he said, go sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor. And those words, at this the man's face fell. And he went away sad. Notice what he did? He walked away from the very question that he was asking. He was willing to give up the eternal life because he had too much stuff. He was not willing to lose what he had. You know, I have to admit that there have been times in my life that I've looked back and wondered, what would life have been like if I didn't go down this path with him? What things maybe would I be able to do? What things would I be? And you know, I come to scripture passages like this one found in Matthew chapter 6 and 19 through 20, and it's maybe one that you know. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And I go, you know what? There's truth to that. We live in this dot on the line. The dot is very short. Eternity, well, it's eternity. And if all I'm living for and all my focus is what I'm going to lose here in the dot rather than what I'm going to gain for all eternity, then I've missed the point. You might have heard the name Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot and three of his friends were missionaries to the Auca Indians in Ecuador. Incredible story. These guys, they fly in and they go there and they give their life. They lose their lives. They're killed. They're murdered by the Alka Indians because of a lie is really what it was, because of a lie. When they went back, they found out that they could have defended themselves. They had guns that were there. But they had decided, and they'd said to themselves and to each other, we will not take a life of one of these people because they need to see the love of Jesus in us. So they gave their lives. But Jim Elliot was quoted as saying before that, he is no fool who is willing to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You hear that? He is no fool who is willing to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And they gave their life. And here's, maybe you've heard the story, maybe you've seen the videos, but one of the amazing parts of this story is because of their death, that village and those people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and it changed their life. And this is the amazing part of it. One of the children of one of the men that lost their life, I think it was Nate Saint's son or one of their sons, was baptized by one of the men that was there the day that killed his father. He is no fool who is willing to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We can look back, but understand the greatest is ahead of us. Not only do we at times struggle because of what we lose, but we struggle because of what I do. Our concern sometimes is what I am doing maybe is going to get into the way of what God is asking me to do. For in the story that we read in the text of the morning, the second man comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I want to follow you, but first let me go and bury my loved one. Let me go back and bury my dad. Now, this is one of those ones where I first heard this and I'm like, wow, Jesus was really harsh. Go let the dead bury the dead? That just doesn't sound like him at all. However, one of the things that a lot of the theologians and guys who read Scripture, one of the things that they have determined was likely this man's father was not dead. What he was saying to Jesus was, I have a responsibility to my family to be there for when my father dies. I need to take care of him. Once my father is dead, once his life is over, then I will come and follow you. And so this was kind of like an open-ended thing where he's saying, Jesus, I want to serve you, but when the time is right. And Jesus says, no. If that's your understanding, then go home. Don't be a part of this. Sometimes it's easier for us to allow the things that we do, whether it be our career, our hobbies, whatever it might be, to dictate how we serve God, rather than letting God and being all in with God dictate how we are going to serve. Our jobs at times can overshadow, our responsibilities can overshadow the things that God wants to do for us. And this is the interesting thing to us is we think that we know better, don't we? Well, God, you know, I have a responsibility to my person that I'm my employer. I have a responsibility for this. I have a responsibility. And we're talking to God about responsibilities. And yet, if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, what does God say to us? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And does it ever say, my plans are to destroy you, to make your life miserable, to take everything away from you? No. He says, that's not my plans are to prosper you. My plans are not to harm you. My plans are to give you a hope and a future. And he says, these are my plans. And then we look at him and we go, yeah, but God, my plans have to supersede your plans because what I do is very important. And if I do what I need to do, then I'm going to be okay. But if I do what you are asking me to do, then I might have a problem here. And you see where we can go through this argument with God to the place where we would say, God, I don't think I can be all in because I could end up running into problems with what I do. But Proverbs 19, I love the Proverbs. They're full of wisdom. Proverbs 19, verse 21, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'd encourage you to highlight this one because this is wisdom. Proverbs 19, 21. turning of papers. That's a beautiful sound. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You get that? I can have all of the plans. I can plan out my whole life, my whole career path, everything that I want. But if it's not God's plan to prosper me, you know what? It's His plan that will prevail. So where should I be if I want to prevail? If I want to prosper, where's the best place to be? In His will. Doing what He is calling us to do. You ever considered what it would be like if we lived out Colossians 3:23 in every area of our life? Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." You know, if we took just that one thought and we shifted it, and rather than saying, you know what, I have to work a job so that I can live, so I can support my family, so that I can, and then when I have all of these things covered, then I can do what you're asking me to do. What if we flipped that over and we said, you know what, God, I am all in the kingdom. I want to advance the name of Jesus. I want all of eternity to be about bringing people to you. And all of a sudden we said, this is my focus. What do you think God would do then? You know, it's interesting because I think this is the way I see it. When we say yes to God and we say, I'm all in, I'm going to engage with what you are calling me to do, whatever that may be. All of a sudden, God says, you know what? I'm going to bring favor in areas. I am going to allow it to work out. I am going to work this. I'm going to work this. I'm going to work this. And all of a sudden, we can look back in a good way and we can say, wow, God was faithful. Through all of it, God was completely faithful. But we struggle just like the ones who came to Jesus because we are afraid that if we are all in, we're going to lose some important things. We are afraid that what we do will not be what we feel it should be done. So we struggle to go all in. But we see a third individual in this text this morning. And this is really even a harder, a more difficult one for us to get. Because it's about who we love. Sometimes we could look back because we can see that to be all in with God is going to impact those who I love. The third individual came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but first, let me go home and say goodbye to my family. Now, is that a tough thing? I mean, to me, I read that one and I'm going, that sounds pretty good. God, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to follow you, but I just need to go say goodbye to my family, all right? That's all I need to. And Jesus' response floors me again. His response, you know what? No one puts the hand to the plow and looks back as worthy or fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on here? This guy is saying, I want to go with you, and all I'm wanting to do is just go and hug my parents and anybody else in my household and say, I'm going to walk with Jesus. And he brings in something about putting a hand to a plow and looking back is not worthy. Do you get what he's saying, though? Now, it's difficult for us to understand this principle because, well, we have technology today, right? If you're a farmer today, you pretty much can push a button and it does all the work for you, right? You get into your tractor and you're like, GPS, beep, 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 beep. You know, you're putting it all in there. I've heard that there's tractors that you can sit back and relax and it just goes back and forth, straight forth. But do you understand what this point was? My father-in-law, when he was young, he worked on a farm and he would get on a tractor. And he said, in order for us to have a straight line in our fields, I would have to put a mark or I would have to look at a fence post at the end of the line and I would have to keep my eye on that fence post. Because if I turned around to look at what I was doing behind me, you know what happens? And then you look at your field and it's doing all of this kind of thing. So you get what Jesus was saying here. Again, it wasn't that the man was just wanting to say goodbye to his family. It was, I'm going to go back home, and then I'm going to see all of the stuff that I'm walking away from. And as a matter of fact, it might have even been that he was going to go home, and he was going to all of a sudden start having the family saying, what? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to give all of this up? You know what? You are next in succession for all of this. You're going to have this, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, family begins to tug on that heartstring, and we begin to look back. Sometimes God maybe calling us to do things that go against what our family has said. Maybe it's even God may call us away from our family. You know, again, in ministry, this has been a common thing that we have heard time and time again, that pastors and missionaries who have given many years to their life step away from the ministry because they need to go home to be with family. Now, it's an honorable thing when a family member is sick and dying to want to do that. It's not bad. That's not bad. But do you understand what Jesus is saying? He's saying, you know what? Those who you love can at times hold us from what God's all-in desire is for us. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus says this, anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now again, we look at this and we go, wow, that's tough. I thought I was supposed to love my family. I thought Scripture tells me to love my children. I thought Scripture tells me to love my wife, my parents, and all of those things. Absolutely it does. But again, wording is important because if you listen carefully again to what he says in Matthew 10, anyone who loves their father and mother more than me, anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He doesn't say don't love them. He's saying they just can't replace, they can't supersede my love for Christ. Anybody know what the greatest commandment is? Love the Lord your God with... Wait. How much? Really? Then how can I love my family? You see, sometimes we get into this thing where we go back and forth, and Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. But then he adds on the second part to it. And he says, and the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. But you understand that we cannot elevate both to the same level of love. I can't say I love God this much and I love my family this much. Because what's going to happen? They're going to war against each other. And all of a sudden, one of those is going to give in, one of those is going to lose. Jesus is saying to us, I must always be your highest priority. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he's talking to husbands and wives, and he says this, he says, husbands, love your wives. Okay, there we go, we hear it. We love our wives, we're to love our families. But then he says it this way, he says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now that changes things, because when we're looking at this, when it says that we are to love as Christ loved, how did Christ love the church? He died for the church. And all of a sudden what he brings in, this love, goes from a love of possession to a love of sacrifice. That's a big difference. Because if it's a love of possession, what's going to happen is I am going to make that everything. And if God calls me out of that, there's going to be conflict. But if it is a love of sacrifice, then I'm living all of my life for the kingdom, for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom. And all of a sudden what happens is I come back and there it is. I love my family. God's love, I love him greater, and therefore I will follow what he says. And you know what? At times that may require that we do end up having to walk away from family. In 1993, that was the year that I had to make that decision. I was in college, and I've told this story before. And it was at that time where I realized that God was calling me into ministry. I had been fighting it for years. I had said, God, I want to be in. I said, I want to be in, but I had never said, I want to be all in. I said, God, I will love you. You know what? I will talk about you. I will not compromise in what I believe. But up to that point in time, I have definitely been at the point where I was like, God, I will do all of that, but please do not ask me to go and do this. And in 1993 is where I was faced with that. And you know what? I struggled with it. And you know why I struggled with it? For the very reasons for which that we have just talked about. Because I looked at it and I said, I know that if I say yes to Jesus in this, and if I am all in, then in all likelihood, I will be living nowhere near my family. I know that if I do this when I have children, they won't have grandma and grandpa next door. They won't have them down the street. They may only be able to have very little time with them here and there every once in a while. I knew that going into this, what God was calling me into, would take times where my girls, my children, would end up moving from school to school, town to town, place to place. Because those were all things that I knew. That was my life. And now I'm confronted with this and I'm going, God, you're asking me to do the very thing that I know that I am going to lose. There was a cost. There is a cost. There always will be a cost. I wish I could again stand before you today and say I've never looked back. Sadly, there's been those days. Sure, there's been times where I've sat there and I went, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like that I have to do this. I don't like that I lose this. I don't like that this is impacting this. I don't like these things, God. But the one thing that has always happened in those moments, especially the later I get into ministry, that quote from Jim Elliot keeps coming back. He is no fool who is willing to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I am reminded time and time and time again that God is always faithful. God has done things in our life when we have said yes that are go beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. I could sit here probably for the next hour and a half and tell you story after story after story of what God has done. God has provided. God has been faithful. And you know why? Because in a moment in 1993, I said, finally, yes, I'm all in. God is never calling us to be fans of Jesus. He's calling us to engage, to be all in. What is God asking you to be all in for? You see, it's going to be different for each one of us. Whatever God is calling you to do, you're faced with that question of, am I willing to jump all in, or am I too afraid of losing what I have? I don't want to lose that. Am I too afraid of what I might, what I do will be impacted, and is it going to affect those that I love? You are being faced. We are all being faced with this. Every person that God has ever walked up to and said, follow me, has been faced with that same question. He walked up to the disciples and he said, follow me. Peter and Andrew, James and John, what does it say? They just dropped everything and walked away. He walks up to Matthew and says, Matthew, I want you to give up everything. And he goes, okay, I'll walk away. He walks away from a lucrative career. Nobody liked him, but it was a lucrative career. You know, Paul walked away from power and prestige. He had it all. And Jesus even told him, you're going to lose all of that and you're going to learn what it means to suffer. People have been called, but God has always been faithful. God has always been more than faithful. He will never forget us in this. When we say yes to God, He begins to do a good work. And it says that He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. What is it that you need to say yes to today? What is God calling you to be all in for? That's only a question that you can answer. Are you willing to be all in? If there's anything else you can do other than follow Jesus, maybe you need to do it. But if Jesus is calling you into this, there is nothing else you can do. Don't look back. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You call us into Your work, that You call us into Your kingdom advancement, that You find us fit, as limited as we are, as broken as we are, to join in with You. You've asked us to be all in. You've been honest with us through Your word, and You've told us that following You is hard. But You've also made it clear that to follow You means great things that we will experience because of Your hand. That You will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That You will perform incredible deeds and acts through us. That if we fully commit to You, that You will do the impossible. Lord, have we been holding back? If we've been holding back in our lives, Lord, would You help us to see it? Would You help us to come to the place of saying, I'm all in. I have decided. No looking, no turning back. Lord, may You lead us to be all in for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.